Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today, we're discussing the topic of the multifamily maintenance skills gap and how to bridge it. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a national educator and sought-after speaker, the great Paul Rhodes, the Senior Manager of Maintenance Learning with Brookfield Properties. Welcome, Paul.
Hey, Paul. Thanks again for having me. It is so wonderful to talk with you again.
We love having you on the show because you always bring the receipts with you when you come. And of course, anytime I have a chance to go to Apartmentalize or any place where you're speaking, I always make it a point to attend your sessions because there's so much that you bring to the table for the people who attend. So glad to have you on the show. And this is a topic that is really, really important to our industry. Let's talk a little bit about it. Tell us a little bit about the skills gap.
Well, it kind of comes from the reality that right now apartment maintenance workers are in high demand. I believe the National Apartment Association a couple of months ago came out with an article talking about that apartment maintenance has experienced over the past year, almost year and a half, has experienced turnover of about 40 to 70% in their notes, meaning that between, well, let's average it out, 5 out of every 10 maintenance personnel that are working in their role a year ago are no longer there now.
Wow.
And that turns into the fact that, you know, we need replacement people. We need workers. And a lot of properties are experiencing that these people are moving from property to property or community to community, and the hiring often looks for experience. It's a little bit challenging because on one hand, we need somebody. I mean, at some point, we need a body. We need a set of hands. We need to move appliances. We need to solve work orders. But the longer an opening happens, or the longer an opening occurs, the more management companies are looking for experience. And my question began, and where this topic really came from, is that we definitely have a skills gap in the apartment industry where maintenance is concerned for several reasons. And it starts out with, as a company, as a property, are we actually having the right discussion? In other words, are we looking for someone with the right tools, either physical tools or cultural or procedural tools? Or are we looking for someone who fits our culture? Or are we looking for people that fit our hours that we have available or the workload that we have? And if we do have people, do we have the infrastructure as a property and or as a management company to develop the people that we already have to fill the roles that we need? And ultimately, the question comes, if I as a leader have people that I need to develop, do I have the skills that I need to develop the people that I'm leading?
Mm. Yeah, and that's important. And also, it takes time to train people.
It does. Now, before we get too broad in this, let's define it down, meaning that we need to develop people in three skill areas. We need to look at developing our maintenance technicians, our maintenance personnel, in their compliance skills, mm-hmm. in their trade skills, And then also in soft skills. And to get these developments, to get these skills going, I kind of view it that there are two parts, two things that we have to tackle. One is an employer responsibility. I mean, as leaders, we do have a responsibility to our employees to develop them, to give them the opportunity. Maybe that even means provide some challenges, things that they haven't experienced before, or get them involved through either mentoring or taking our employees outside of their comfort zone safely. But maybe that is providing them opportunities to develop as individuals. And then there's another part of that that we have to honor or recognize, and that's the fact that our employees, they have a responsibility to develop as well. Now, how this translates in today's day and age, really and truly, is what I've seen through, as you mentioned, speaking at conferences and traveling the country, both in the role as a trainer and then also working as a director of maintenance for a management company, and now in my role as a manager of maintenance learning, what I'm seeing is that a lot of people across the industry are doing the role or performing the job that is one role below where their original job description sits. In other words, regional maintenance engineer or regional maintenance director is performing a lot of the type of work that our maintenance supervisors should be performing. And it kind of cascades down. If our regional person is doing the work of the on-site maintenance supervisor, then is our maintenance supervisor actually doing the job which they were hired for? Or are they doing the work of their assistant maintenance supervisor or technician? And it cascades all the way down. Yeah. Are we providing that challenge?
Yeah, I mean, that's extremely important. By the way, we've got about 3.5 minutes left in this segment. The challenge is out there. Tell me a little bit more about what the next steps are.
Yeah, the challenge is there. I think really the next steps are we need to have a discussion broken down in those three skills. You know, what is the saying, the first way to solving a problem is identifying the problem. Mm-hmm. Well, I really believe where maintenance skills are concerned, we've got gaps in three big areas. It's the compliance skills, trade skills, and life skills or soft skills. And these are three areas that our companies, our management, our owners, and even the people in the roles today need to develop. So what I'd like to do is talk with you a little bit about how we can provide those skills or bridge that skills gap, both with some ideas to where as a management company or as a property manager and regional director role, we can provide that for our employees. And then secondarily, how we can encourage our employees in their responsibility to kind of identify the needs that they have as employees and how we can all try and fill those gaps or fill that role.
Okay, well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back because we want to cover that. I don't want to take a break in the middle of those thoughts. So we're going to break a little early, but we're going to come back with our next segment and discuss this more. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's E-Conserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of the multifamily maintenance skills gap and how to bridge it. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a national educator, and sought-after speaker, the fantastic Paul Rhodes, the Senior Manager of Maintenance Learning with Brookfield Properties. Before we jump back in the conversation, I want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics or guest ideas or suggestions or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Paul, we ended that segment a little bit early because I know you want to really talk about the three specific skills that need to be developed, and the first one is compliance skills. So let's jump right into that. Talk about compliance skills and what's important. What are you seeing?
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Really where this came from was traveling the country and being director of maintenance and learning. I've gotten the opportunity to speak with a lot of property managers and leaders within multifamily. And I would do my best to inject one question into our conversations, which is, if you were to identify a need for your on-site maintenance team, what is the largest need that you have from a knowledge standpoint? And it was very, very surprising to me that the needs that their on-site people had were not necessarily how to solve a service request. I mean, there were in there of electrical knowledge or how to fix a stove or how to diagnose an air conditioner. But I would say at least two-thirds of it, of the answers, the majority of the answer in time, was more soft skills or more skills outside of physically turning a wrench. And that's really where this first one came from, which is classified, or I like to look at as compliance skills. In other words, these are skills, these are things that a maintenance technician needs to know to do their job in multifamily at large. And this is outside of their internal standards and practices or procedures and policies, although it can include that as well. Okay. I mean, as an example, we're talking about personal protective equipment or lockout, tagout, and hazardous communications, regulatory requirements like the EPA or local building codes, national electrical codes, those type of things. And then there also is a component that our maintenance workers really do need to understand their internal standards operating procedures. And that could be all the way up to and including their business plan. like how budgeting gets done, how when we do go over budget this month, why we can't necessarily spend less next month and make up the gap, or in some cases, why halfway through the month we suddenly have less money to buy supplies and needs than what we had begun the month with. It all ends up kind of forming into this category I like to refer to as compliance skills.
So we got about 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes left in this segment. So how do you develop these skills?
Well, I think as I was mentioning, there's really two parts in developing these skills: the corporate responsibility, which where the company provides an opportunity, and then the individual, which the technician or the worker has to take initiative. Now, from a corporate responsibility, where these compliance fall into place is, first of all, is somebody paying attention to it? In other words, if we're going to say that our maintenance team is going to use personal protective equipment, for instance, we had a need to cut down the amount of injuries that were occurring with hand injuries to where we were getting cuts and scrapes on fingers and hands. So the company actually found and worked out a advantageous buying practice to get safety gloves. Now, these are, you know, work gloves, like mechanics gloves that they ended up wearing. They were sent out and distributed to the properties so that the technicians can wear when they're fixing or solving things, which that's great. That's the beginning. You provide that information. But then, is there a mechanism for monitoring that they're actually happening? Yes, we do have maybe a rollout of company-wide to where they go into place, to where the gloves get put on. But the question is, are our leaders verifying that those gloves are in use? Do the employees have that reinforcement that if I go today and I go to work on the back of a stove, which does have some sharp parts on the way those stove panels are stamped out, if I wear my gloves today on this work order, is somebody recognizing that I did good? Mm-hmm. And the next thing is, as an employee, if I leave my gloves in my truck or on my cart, and I go to do another work order tomorrow to work on a stove, and I don't have my gloves, is somebody noticing that I am not following procedure, and is somebody reinforcing the fact that, hey, for safety, we really need to do this? And it carries on just beyond using gloves to lockout, tagout, hazardous communications, even regulatory things outside of direct safety requirements, things like refrigerant logs where the EPA is concerned. On every work order that requires refrigerant use, is somebody verifying that the refrigerant was logged on a daily basis, or do we wait till the end of the month and we go look at the log and realize that, oops, we overlooked it? And so we have to go back and kind of throw numbers in. Not saying that that ever happens.
Yeah, no. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left in this segment. Talk a little bit about what the individual needs to do.
Now, the individual does have a responsibility to where when these new programs roll out, to where, you know, take the example of the gloves go into play. If I'm the individual, I do have a responsibility, first of all, to use the gloves, just in this example. But I also have a responsibility that through normal use, those gloves are going to wear out. So here a month, 2 months, however long it is, based on use, when those gloves wear out, it's my responsibility to be sure that my manager knows I need a new pair. This, you know, expands out onto lockout tagout. If we go and we identify that we have in a specific apartment a different kind of valve that requires a different kind of locking device, it's my responsibility to be sure that my company, my manager, knows I need this tool, this device, to keep me safe and ultimately keep the property safe. It's my responsibility to let them know it so that they can follow up on the corporate responsibility. I mean, especially where safety is concerned, OSHA requires the employer to provide these safety devices. But it is the employee's responsibility to ensure the employer knows of safety, particularly where a lot of maintenance work is done and is self-directed or self-initiated. A lot of the times when, I go into an apartment to perform service, my manager's not there to see what potential dangers or what potential regulatory hazards are around. So it's up to me as an individual to ensure that my manager knows of my needs. So it ends up kind of working together to develop these changes in place. And then, of course, it's on me, since I am ultimately responsible for my safety, that when I have those tools, like the gloves, it's my responsibility to put them on and use them when I need to. That includes the one that is overlooked probably more than any other piece of personal protective equipment, and that is eye protection. You can't even go buy a wrench or a pair of pliers anymore without the sticker on the side that says wear eye protection.
Yeah, I mean, that's and that's probably, I'm sure you have seen some of the figures from safety organizations that's probably one of the most common injuries that people have.
Oh, yeah.
Eye injuries.
Matter of fact, on the recent show that you did with Scott Ployer, that was a part of the responsibility, is making sure that the company both provides it and that our workers are implementing those safety rules.
Yeah. And Scott had a lot of good points about that as well. One of the things that I want to ask you, and we've got about a minute and a half left before we have to end this segment, is what are your top three things that you would tell people they need to look out for at their properties as far as safe, when it comes to safety, since we're talking about that? What are your top three?
The top three would definitely be eye protection.
Mm-hmm.
That's just as easy as go look at the key machine and find out where is the safety glasses or goggles at the key machine. And then the second thing is ask maintenance workers, where is your eye protection right now?
Okay.
And if they are on their way to fix something and they don't have it, then they're not compliant with that. The second thing is proper footwear. Too many maintenance technicians are wearing normal athletic shoes. It needs to be anti-skid, and be sure that it is good for traction and protective, being closed toe. That means no flip-flops when you're on call. And then the third thing is the lockout tagout, making sure that whenever we go and deal with energy, our maintenance workers are using lockout tagout and documenting when they use it. Put it on the work order. Put it on their service request.
All right.
Those would be my top three.
Okay. Well, we are going to be back after these messages with more. We're going to talk about trade skills and why that's important and what we need to know about that. We're going to be back. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control Ynet provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control Ynet only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of the multifamily maintenance skills gap and how to bridge it. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a national educator, and sought-after speaker, the brilliant Paul Rhodes. He's a senior manager of maintenance learning with Brookfield Properties. But before we get back into the conversations, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Paul, we talked a lot about the some of the different skill sets in the first couple of segments, but one of the ones that is really important is going to be the trade skills that a maintenance technician needs to understand. Talk about that.
Yes. Thanks again, Paul. The trade skills here, we're looking at the actual vocation of maintenance. We need maintenance technicians who can do the job, not just that can keep themselves safe, although like we started with, keeping themselves safe is a very important part, because if our employees aren't keeping themselves safe today, they won't be there to solve our resident needs tomorrow. But if we're saying we need them to solve our resident needs, we need them to maintain the building, then that is a skill that has to be fostered. And far too often, we have a need that a resident calls in and says part XYZ is broken. And if our maintenance technician doesn't know how to fix XYZ, how are they going to learn or get those skills? Right now, we've got this huge technology availability to us of Lord Google or Lord Yahoo or Lady Siri or wherever we can get the latest video on how to do this, that, or the other, that if we're honest, they're not always good information.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, quite frequently, our maintenance technicians get rewarded for fixing things incorrectly because we needed it to be done quickly. We need it to be done fast. So that means often our workers are looking for shortcuts. They're looking for shortcuts. They are actually rewarded for shortcuts. oh, you went to go fix that toilet, and Bob went over there yesterday. He fixed the toilet in 15 minutes, but whatever you did, you fix it in 10 minutes. Good job. Now teach Bob how you fixed it in 10 minutes. And we don't realize that by doing that shortcut, we've shortened the life of the equipment, or we've caused ourselves to have to go back more frequently to that apartment. I think this comes from actually a friend of mine coined the term once, IWS training, in that maintenance workers really don't have an organized OJT or on-the-job training path to follow. Instead, it's IWS. And by that, it means I watch somebody. In other words, if the bathtub needs to be caulked, I'm not exactly going to walk you through an organized process on how to install caulking. Instead, I'm going to do it, have you watch me, and then hand the caulking gun to you and say, go do it. And then you go do it, and maybe or maybe not, there's a feedback loop that allows somebody to develop. This type of training ends up falling into a trap that we're not covering fundamental skills. It was really alarming to me a few years ago at Apartmentalize. I did a session where we played maintenance training Jeopardy, where myself, Chad Mullen, and Mark Kukrow, who are national trainers, were playing Jeopardy. And one of the answers were, this is the most needed tool for a maintenance technician to learn. And we didn't plan the answer ahead of time. We didn't conspire to agree, but we ended up all agreeing that the number one tool that apartment maintenance technicians need to learn is a multimeter, an electrical multimeter. And we didn't plan it. It was just very surprising that we all had the same answer. Now, the question comes then, okay, great. If we have that developed, how do we develop that? And again, it breaks down to both corporate and individual. From a corporate standpoint, are we, as leaders of an organization, are we providing opportunity for guided, hands-on training? Meaning, instead of just showing a PowerPoint or showing a video or showing the latest e-learning module on how to use, for example, a multimeter, are we actually beginning with that and then handing a multimeter or having our technician use their multimeter to perform a repair and actually step through the process and have a dialogue about, when you touch this here, you should expect to see this, that, or the other? Are we providing that amount of feedback loop or that amount of involvement? Not only that, as a corporate environment, are we giving our employees opportunities to network and go to and attend trainings or learnings where some of this can happen? Some of this hands-on or interactive learning can happen. That's really where we can go with a corporate responsibility or how to bridge that skills gap. What kind of learning department do you have within your organization or at your property? The second part of this, or the second responsibility of that, is really on the individual part. And this is one that I get very passionate or very tied up in, because I do have a large emotional connected to it. As an individual, it is my responsibility to, kind of like in the compliance, identify need and be sure that I'm letting others know of that need. And to me, that means it is more and more critical. If I want to develop my trade skills, I need to have people with the ability to speak into my life. And I'm talking here of a mentor, someone that can actually identify needs that I have, that I open up to. That's where the individual responsibility comes in that I may go to somebody and say, hey, I think I'm a little weak in this area. What do you see? And we have a conversation. These are people that respect me enough to tell me the truth and even tell me when I'm wrong. I mean, I have multiple people in my life that do that. People like my dear friend Mark Vanderhoof, Mary and her husband Tom Gwynn. Some of these you've even had on the radio show. Dr. Debbie Phillips, Scott Ployer, Darren Rawson, a leader of a supplier, Rich George, Leah Brewer, Chris Caramonica. We've already mentioned Scott Ployer and others. People like this, being able to speak into my life, have challenged me into my trade skills of that can include when I was a trainer. Some of them would correct me after I'd give a presentation and stop me for a second and say, Paul, you really missed it there. On site, we need that sort of feedback loop to, hey, Paul, you know you replaced that three-way switch? You wired it incorrectly. Let's go back and rewire it. And I have to not be defensive when I am challenged or when a deficiency is pointed out. That, through those methods, are really how we're going to develop our trade skills.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and break it here because we've got our final segment of this episode coming to you right after this break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today. In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of the multifamily maintenance skills gap and how to bridge it. I'm Paul Marks, and joining by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a national educator, and a sought-after speaker, the awesome Paul Rhodes, the Senior Manager of Maintenance Learning with Brookfield Properties. So, Paul, we talked about compliance skills, we talked about trade skills, and now you've got down that you want to talk about soft skills. What are soft skills?
Yeah, soft skills are quite frequently the one skill that is overlooked by both us as individuals and yet as our organizations. Recently, I was asked to do some interviews for an open role, an open maintenance supervisor role, and it came down to just a couple of candidates that had gone through the interviews, and they asked me to provide an outsider third opinion about these candidates. And they both were very, very good candidates, very experienced for the maintenance supervisor position that was being hired for. One of them was very, very strong in trade skills. His technical knowledge, you could tell. He had done a lot of repair work. He knew about electrical, plumbing, heating, air conditioning, building envelope, turning apartments, all of the physical hard knowledge. The second individual was a very, very good strategic thinker, had great interpersonal skills, had experience in budgeting and scheduling and all of those skills that are a little bit less tangible and a little bit more fuzzy. And of the two candidates for the maintenance supervisor, the one that had the soft skills was looked at more favorably for that role. And that, to me, is good, but it's also challenging because, as we talked about in the very first segment, we've got a situation where a lot of people in leadership roles are there today and they haven't really been prepared for that leadership role. In other words, if I have a technician on site, am I actually teaching that technician for skills outside of what is commonly referred to as turning a wrench? Am I giving them the skills they need to succeed in the future? Not just solving the work order they have in front of them today, not just doing the trade skills we were just talking about in that last segment, but am I giving them things like computer skills? In other words, beyond just using an app on their cell phone, have I shown them how to format an email? You know, communication skills is one trade secret that really is not often referred to for a maintenance technician. But having the ability to discuss with a resident a challenging situation where we need the resident to realize something, that is a skill. Have we ever discussed with our maintenance team the importance of other people's perception of us as technicians? The difference between tone of voice, what it means to look like and be confident about yourself as a worker and confident about the work that you do. Are we covering these things with our technicians? And beyond that, have we ever shown our technicians how to research for new knowledge, how to be sure that we're not just looking at one piece of information? Have we actually taken time with our maintenance supervisors or our assistant maintenance supervisors to teach them time management skills and project management skills, how to gain exposure to both projects and time management tools that can happen, and do we give them the ability to practice it so that kind of we can become that mentor that we were talking about before, of allow a little bit of challenge so that we can develop that in our employees. Really, this kind of it leads directly into how we can develop it, what our plan is. And again, we'll start with the corporate side. One is, as a leader, am I providing my employees the ability to develop these things? Am I having that all-important discussion of perception? You know, one of the things that really opened up for me on site or on property was when I realized that for my resident, perception is reality, mm-hmm. whether it's true or not. And that can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. meaning if I show up at the front door of a resident's apartment and they look at me through the peephole of the door, what are they seeing? Are they seeing somebody who's organized, who is confident, whose appearance says, I take care of myself, so you can trust me to take care of your home? As a leader, am I allowing my teams to crosswalk what is happening in their department and what is happening in another department? For instance, am I actually allowing my office team to spend a prolonged period of time with my maintenance team to see not just the best or not just the worst of work orders and dealings with the residents? Am I allowing them to see a true crosswalk? And the reverse as well. I think it's just as important for our maintenance team to get and spend a prolonged amount of time with the office to see why, things happen the way they do. One of the most common complaints from a maintenance team, particularly where turning apartments, is, hey, I got apartment number 301 is ready. It's been ready for a week, and yet it's not leased. And my leasing specialist actually leased apartment 302. They just moved out 2 days ago. It's not ready yet. Why did they lease the apartment that's not ready, and they didn't lease the one that is? There's a valid reason.
Sure.
And that crosswalk can be huge. Now, on an individual basis, I am a huge proponent of reading. And I know when you get into stereotypes, generally speaking, maintenance workers are stereotyped as not being readers. But there are some fantastic resources out there about how to develop different philosophies or ideas, even if you disagree with them. I'm a big believer. As a matter of fact, right now I am reading or studying up on a concept called mental maps, which is using allegories to hang information on. And it's a way of looking at a topic or a subject and thinking about it differently than you ever thought about it before. And it's kind of a way of challenging myself. Another thing that as an individual I need to be sure and do is actually listen to feedback. Talk about one of the most important soft skills, listening. Paul, I can't tell you how often somebody starts telling me something or they ask me a question. And right after they ask me a question or they begin to introduce the topic they're telling, I'm no longer listening to the words that come out of their mouth. I'm stuck in between my own ears, thinking through how I'm going to answer them for the greatest impact for whatever it is that I need.
Yeah.
It's a good idea, personally, to pause. Exactly. And as I'll pause here and let you go, because...
No, we've got about four minutes left. I want you to continue on with that, because I do want to transition us to something else in just a second. But go ahead.
The last thing is exactly what we had talked about before. I cannot speak about how important the roles of mentors in my life, people being allowed to speak in. Even if it's just going to a topic of what can I do next or what do we have? I mean, right now we just have gone through this whole concept of the great resignation or whatever it is that is happening. And I've heard a lot of maintenance workers say the grass is always greener. And in reality, the grass can be greener. Well, is it greener because it really is greener, meaning that this a different situation would be better? Or if we take this analogy to its logical end, the grass is greener over a septic tank, or the grass is greener if somebody with a can of green spray paint.
Right.
So all of those things work, and having somebody to bounce ideas off of is a very, very important skill to initiate and make happen.
All right. Well, we've got about 2.5 minutes left. I want to ask you to take 30 seconds and tell the audience, I mean, one of the big problems we have in the industry right now is the shortage of maintenance personnel. you know, there's so many open positions elsewhere, everywhere. What do you see as a potential solution for that?
A potential solution for that that I see and believe is internal development. Now, that begins with hiring somebody who doesn't have multifamily experience. Mm-hmm. Hiring somebody who's willing to learn, and then actually having a path, a plan, whether it's formalized or informal, of teaching, of developing those skills. This is happening across all trades, and we really have to get to the place to where we're teaching those fundamental skills in an organized way to people who are willing. And a second part of that, we need to be sure that the country or society at large actually knows the opportunities that being an apartment maintenance technician can afford. I've said it before, and I'll continue to say it. If somebody doesn't know what to do, give apartment maintenance a try. There's enough here that can be fun. It can develop each and every one of us as individuals, and it does provide a needed service. There's no other job that I know of that has more job security than an apartment maintenance technician.
That's exactly right. Well, listen, I want to, before we end, I want to tell everybody, follow Paul on LinkedIn if you haven't. He's always got good information that he's talking there. And Paul, tell people how they can reach you if they want to.
The best way is on LinkedIn, and I'm going to reinforce that more than anything else, just because more apartment maintenance technicians need to get involved with LinkedIn, mm-hmm. or with other networking resources. Find out if you are a leader of a maintenance team, a property manager or regional, be sure that your maintenance personnel know about resources that are available. And not only that, think right now. If you're listening to this radio show, chances are you are not a maintenance technician, just because a lot of maintenance technicians don't take advantage of resources like this one, or like LinkedIn or other job association sites and resources.
All right. Well, Paul, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We're going to have you back again sometime soon, and I look forward to seeing you sometime soon at one of the conferences where you'll be attending. And I do want to let our listeners know we'll be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.